It is Experts on Call with Bobby Assadourian, and as always, we're in the middle of a conversation before we even get started. Get that microphone in front of you. You were just, actually, we were just off mic talking about what's going on in your life, and welcome again to the show.
Thank you.
Just Ask Bob. We are back, and you've got some questions that you'll answer, and you're halfway through a fence project, and what else were you just talking to me about?
Well, the battle goes on in Stony Creek. Again, it's a new subdivision.
A new battle in Stony Creek.
Battle, so to speak. Again, I'm helping out there, at least with my experience, trying to coordinate everybody.
Right.
You know, as we've mentioned before, I am a contractor. I do build fencing.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm smart enough not to do it in my own backyard. too much potential for disaster there. But, I mean, at least I'm helping. And it looks like we found a really good contractor. You know, we've had a few people give some quotes. This was one of the only gentlemen that did provide a WSIB clearance certificate,
mm-hmm.
a trade license, and the liability insurance. So he's on board. He's fine. Now we need to get 16 homeowners on board. I mean, it's hard, John. Half the people want lattice, 5-foot boards, lattice. The other half, no lattice, 6-foot boards.
Caps on the top of the posts.
Caps on the top, caps not.
Different color.
4x4 versus 6x6. So, I mean, at least so far, at least the ones that matter to me, you know, the home beside me.
Adjacent
on each side and the one across from me. They've agreed to listen, and it makes sense. So we're all going definitely with 6x6 posts. I mean, looking at 15, 20 years down the road, even longer. Those boards go bad, kick them with your foot. Get them out of the way. If you've got 6x6 posts, you can put a bunch of new stringers on and fence boards and you're set all over again.
Mm-hmm.
The big work is in digging up, putting in concrete. So at least this much is organized. We're going to go with 6x6s. We're going with the rail cap at the top. I think it makes sense. Protects all the top at the end grain from absorbing rain. What else? Oh, one thing that the fencing contractor wasn't keen on. Again, it's a matter of speed. It's always a matter of speed, not quality. He wanted to use an air gun. And I said, not if you're doing my home, or at least the adjacent ones. Leave the air gun at home. One thing, mind you, he's smart enough. He believes in constructing them on site because he has an option of dipping them into a duct-penetrating oil.
Okay.
So because it's an option. If a homeowner wants to spend a few $100 extra, they can have them dipped. Now, this will keep him from turning gray within as early as 2 years. So at least this eliminates the fact of buying them pre-made. So he will not bring those pre-made sections.
And the pre-made ones, as we spoke about when we were at the Tim Horton Camp Day thing, doing this show, is that they do gun them.
Oh, no, they will.
They're all gunned, and they're all just, they'll just wow.
Oh, no,
them.
Exactly. Wow. But even though he was considering, or even though he is planning on building them on site because of the dipping,
mm-hmm.
he's still planning on shooting them with the air gun.
Ah.
And I said, no. You know, at least not mine.
Right.
And I very carefully, my adjacent neighbors and the gentleman across from me, they're all on board with using screws. So, again, not a big deal. He gave me an option, which was reasonable.
Well, you can get a cordless drill and just zip some screws into it, right?
It really slows them down, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You figure 16 homes and he wants another 16 at the other block. Can you just imagine with the screw gun? I mean, some people put them in their mouth. Don't. Your teeth will turn green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, others hold them in their hand. They worry about slivers. But it's for sake of picking it up, screwing it in over and over and over, you could probably put on 20 boards in that time with the air gun. You know, it just flies.
Mm-hmm.
But he has agreed, and the real trick to him, the test of his character, was the price. Now, I told my wife the night before, we're talking about over supper, and, you know, my wife's just clasping her hands. You go get him. You get him. Well, the trick was I wanted to find out what he's going to respond in his quote. Now, if he gave me an outrageous price to supplement nails with screws, then I would realize immediately he's just throwing me a high figure because he knows I won't take it. He himself knows it's unreasonable. It's an old game in contracting.
Mm-hmm.
It means you give them too high a price, they'll turn it down. I can keep my air gun and finish the survey quickly. He gave me a price of $200 extra per home. Fantastic. Reasonable. The man's got good character. And I said, done. Now, as far as a start date, if that will ever arrive, you know.
Well, it's so almost what it feels like, though, isn't it?
Well, it's so difficult because he gave a price. This is how much if it's one homeowner out of the whole block,
right.
Meaning if you're the only one doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very expensive, John. Then he gave me a price, how much it is for 16 homes. The price came down 40%. Because he's doing 16 homes.
Sure.
Now, there's no in-between, and he's knocking on doors. So far, out of 16 homes, he's got 3. And again, the price cannot and will not be determined until he's put a tentative cutoff date for July 1st.
Okay.
By July 1st, whoever's giving him a deposit, come on board. At that point, he'll go back to everybody, readjust everybody's quote. to the better, I hope, depending how many people are on board.
Sure.
So it's a very, very complicated process.
It takes a while.
It's not fun to
sort it all out. No, and in particular, if you have, in our situation at home, we have young children, and you know, you and I have talked about this
exactly.
Before. You don't want them running right across everybody else's land in the survey, because although everybody else will say, you know, they'll look out their back door and go, oh, don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want that happening.
My four-year-old is fast. When he gets out the patio door, he'll probably zip across 15, 16 homes. I'm chasing him. And at the same time, I'm waving at these people looking at me through their patio. Everybody's got the patio doors at the kitchen. And I'm just thinking, sorry, sorry. And there's one playset halfway down, so he'll stop there. And he'll start borrowing and enjoying the neighbor's playset. You know, until I grab him, throw him over my shoulder, and bring him back home. No, it'll be nice once the backyards are closed up. Then I can safely bring my barbecue out, possibly look into putting up a deck, some toys for the kids.
That's right.
Nice.
You start doing the things that you would do in a more private setting that mm-hmm. you don't really have a chance to do otherwise.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But I really think the builders should have took care of this. I noticed a 40% drop in the price from him building one fence to the deal he's going to afford us by doing 16.
Right. So he was going to do the entire survey.
Well, exactly. And the builder, I mean, look at how many survey upon survey upon survey. Mm-hmm. So even if the builder made a deal with a reputable fence contractor, of course, validate his credentials and whatnot, as a builder is very good at doing, as they validate all their trades that build the homes.
Right.
Can you imagine the cost savings? I would say it would be way less than half.
However,
even if the builder add a few $100 builder markup,
mm-hmm.
it's organized, it's done. Of course, pick one style. It's a preset deal.
Right.
You're not pitting homeowner against homeowner. I mentioned it before. Very nice people across from us, you know, they're disputing. They were friends at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people end up not even speaking to themselves, and the issue was the big fight over vinyl versus wood, because it can become an issue. You're sitting in your yard now. You look at two sides wood, one side vinyl. You're a little upset with your neighbor. So people, they get personal. I mean, it's a really hot issue with what they want and how they want it done.
It's your home.
But how do you coordinate? The fence is half yours.
Yeah.
It's your home. The other side of the fence is his.
And I recommend anybody who hasn't taken a look at it, check out the Line Fence Act.
Yes.
Read it. Yes. Read the act. It affects you.
Well, here's what's important, too, because this fencing contractor, we spoke to two others, and of course, people in the neighborhood were calling others. 8 out of 10 fencing contractors wanted to put the onus on the homeowner to do the call before you dig and the survey lines.
Yeah,
not how it works.
That shouldn't
no,
be.
No, again, like you said before, and I love that line, and I've used it to all my homeowners. You know, you work at a bank, you make change, you're hiring a fencing contractor, you make change at your place of work, you let him call before you dig, before he puts the hole in the ground.
That's right.
They're shifting the responsibility again, and they don't want it. So we found one of the nice people, and again, it's all on him.
Said, buddy, but they buddy. Know people by, you know, they probably know people by first name.
Oh, no, exactly.
Right?
But it's on him now. He's getting the good money. If he digs in the wrong spot, if it's the wrong locate, if an error's made, you break a gas line at the worst, or at the least cut a bell line, it's all on him, including the surveying. Mm. Now, he has our surveys, but he still wants to bring in a surveyor, get all the stakes in. That way, the fence is put up properly.
Yep.
Even if your neighbor, you know, doesn't mind, it's all off a little bit, but somebody else moves in, they compare it to their survey, they can have you tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the right gentleman who's going to put peace of mind. But again, I really feel for him, because there's a lot of door knocking to do. He's by every 3 days knocking at doors. People aren't calling him. You know, if anybody in my neighborhood's listening, call the fence man, tell him yes, tell him no, tell him maybe, but just don't sit on the fence. Let him know. No, it's a hard job for him getting that many people in line, getting that many people figured out. Then, of course, there's the people that can't afford it, and that's fine. But, you know, knock at your neighbor's door. Tell them. Say, I can't afford it now. Let me know what my cost would be. I'll pay you later. Just don't hide within your dwelling when you see the fencing man coming by. People have to be open. You've got to communicate, you know, in a nice manner.
I couldn't agree more, because they're going to be your neighbors for a while, regardless of whether there's a fence between you or not.
Exactly.
So you want that to be a good relationship. You don't want to have to be, you know, trying to hide your face while you're standing in the driveway pulling your groceries out of your car.
Well, people have a lot of crazy reasons for what they do, but I mean, it's just communication. Be open, be honest with your neighbor. I know of one instance, three houses over from the left, the one homeowner, again, it's trouble economic times. He lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out he's a tile layer. He lays tiles for a living. So the homeowner said, you know what? That's perfect. Go look at my father-in-law's home. He needs some tile laid. The gentleman went and took a look at it. They worked out an even Steven trade. So the tile man now, who's out of work, they can't afford to pay his half of the fence, he's going to go tile his neighbor's father-in-law's home, and that's the offset.
That'll
and
be his not, payment
yeah,
for the
yeah,
fence.
And they agreed. Now, but I mean, that's a rare case. Mm-hmm. I'm not hearing a lot of that. I'm hearing the negative. I'm hearing the squabbling, the bickering, the fighting. Work it out. Be honest. They're your neighbors.
Well, you know, I can't go voice my next door neighbor's commercials.
Oh,
it's kind of difficult to use that as a trade.
No, true. But even if you tell them, I'll pay you later. This is what I can do now.
Right.
Just, you know, make the point of opening the lines of communication.
Yep. And figure it out. There's got to be a way to figure it out rather than put the walls up. Mm-hmm. Rather than the fences.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to go to some questions. Actually, we got a little bit more time right here. I just want to get back to the point about having the builder look after, have the responsibility of making the fence. Because as you say,
that's
if that one fence person is going to be doing an entire survey, then the price is going to come even further down. And sure, the builder can add their markup on it if they want to. The one thing to be aware of, though, is that then you're at the mercy of them gunning the fence. Right.
True. Using the gun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I hate to say this, but if builders are listening, if you can work this out, please use screws. Pitting homeowner against homeowner, it's horrifying. I mean, it's too difficult. It's a bad situation to put people in. There was a show recently on HGTV. It was a Mike Holmes show. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but it was about fencing. It was incredible. There were hundreds and hundreds of people out in the survey. They were watching the Mike Holmes crew build it. Essentially, a contractor went in, took deposits from the whole survey or a couple of blocks worth, very unreputable individual, ended up just starting a small section, took off. Nobody can find him. The money is gone. So Mike Holmes came in, of course, and it was a show. They have backing. It worked out, but he gave a lot of people cautions. Again, the same type of thing before you're handing out your deposit. If they've got a valid trade license and the coverage is in place, very unlikely they're going to take off. Now, for 101 reasons.
Because they're trackable at that point.
No, they're trackable.
Yeah.
Now, for 101 reasons, it is best for the builder to do it. It is best. There's one problem, though. If we look at the lack of quality in a lot of today's homes, and I mean, me and the neighbors, we've all been joking about this.
Mm-hmm.
If the builder does it, to what quality level will they do it?
Right.
Will they sink it 4 feet? Because again, there's code, but there's not inspections. It's not a deck. There's no permit for a fence. If you're building a deck and it's structured, they will come, the city will, before they allow you to go any further, they'll test the holes that they're 4 feet. Does not apply to fencing. So will the builder just go down a few feet? Will the builder use an air gun? Will the builder use 6x6, which is a quality material? Again, that's the only issue. And from my personal experience, from what I believe, the builder would more than likely skimp where he can skimp. He'll probably most certainly use the air gun. Now, again, I mean, I don't believe, and I've never heard of a builder to date that puts up fencing. So if any builders are listening, or if enough homeowners want to get together at the time the survey is being planned and developed, petition your builder to be in charge of the fencing. However, add a few stipulations. Ask him to use, at the very minimum, use screws. And I mean, whatever else he wants to do, you'll be okay. I mean, even if he puts in a 4x4, it's still not bad. It's very well worth not having disputes with your neighbors or the issues. Again, it's a builder. Builders have multiple trades, from the foundation people to the roofers. They're very knowledgeable and experienced at checking out references, license, credentials, insurances. So you know the fence will be done right. No hassles, no issues. But try to petition them. Try to get them to use screws, because that fence will be there for a very, very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you want it to be.
And that's, definitely.
You know, screws the one way to keep it there.
Oh, no, exactly.
So using 6x6, just to back up a little bit, so are you using 10-footers or 12-footers?
We're using 10-footers.
10-footers.
Yeah. 4 feet in the ground.
Probably 12-footers for a gate, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for the gate, though, you want a little more depth.
Right.
But it's so important. I mean, it's beefy. The hole is bored larger. Mm-hmm. There's more concrete.
Yeah.
And again, even 10, 20 years longer if everything's nice. Depends on elements, weather conditions. We're close to the lake, so you can imagine moisture content. But again, it depends. But even when the boards wear out, kick them out of the way. If the rails are still good, pump up a new set of fence boards. All of the work and all of the cost is with the post-hole digging. So if you start right and you use 6x6s, it's such a much stronger structure. And you'll notice, though, builders use it to cordon off the townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
See, in my particular survey, there's not a fence put up yet. However, there's townhomes where the townhome meets the boulevard or just before the street. Like, that's a big open area. Mm-hmm. So they have to cover that because that leads into about 20 backyards. And I've noticed in many, many surveys, the builder does put that up. But I wouldn't call that fencing between properties. That just closes off the one opened end
of
the row.
Like a divider.
Yeah, like a divider.
Common area.
Yeah, common area. Closing off the common area from the townhomes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are 6x6s. And I've looked at them and I've thought, interesting enough, builder's done that.
Yeah.
And he used a 6x6. Mm-hmm. Well, mind you, very small area. Big difference doing 6x6 there compared to hundreds of homes.
Absolutely.
But again, you know, sometimes it's a new area. There's not a home up yet. If enough homeowners, when they're working out their agreements to purchase or designing the home with the builder's representative, make the statement clear, make the inquiry. You want the builder to do the fence. If enough homeowners do that, if enough builders hear it, they may start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed cost savings and no disputes. Neighbors should be friends. They shouldn't become business partners, so to speak, in designing, implementing, and seeking out a contractor.
Right. And you don't want to have that argument, really.
No, it's not necessary.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have to be.
1246, we're here with Bobby Asadourian from Triple R Inc. And just ask Bob, as a matter of fact, the next time you're going to be here, it's going to be summer. You believe that?
Yes,
it's going to be happening this weekend.
This summer. Oh, Father's Day. I'm a father times two. You as well.
Absolutely.
Happy Father's Day to both of us Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got some questions that we'll ask or answer, rather, when we come back.
Terrific.
On Experts On Call, Just Ask Bob from Hamilton's All New Talk Station, Talk 820. Back with Bobby Asadourian, Just Ask Bob, and this is Experts on Call with just a couple of questions, I guess. What do you want to start? We're going to start with the roofing question? What do you want to do?
Yes, definitely. Start with the roofing question. But just again, all homeowners, anybody listening, please send your questions anytime at all to our website, www.RRINCcontracting.ca. I'll be more than happy immediately to send you an email response and also possibly, you know, address the question on air as well.
Okay.
We've got one here today. Actually, it's from Todd in Hamilton. Dear Bob, my roof has only one layer of shingles on it. It's now time to replace the shingles. Can I shingle right over the existing layer, or should I strip it? And it's sort of two parts. If I strip it, should I have tar paper installed over the entire roof deck? Now, to answer the first part, technically, yes, but I don't recommend it. You can have two layers of shingles on your roof.
Mm-hmm.
With, I believe, code, they do not allow more than two, especially for weight reasons. A lot of the new decking is...
A lot of old houses in Hamilton that are not following code.
Oh, no, no, exactly. Well, the most recent one we did had one layer of... One layer of cedar, the original wood shingles, and five layers of asphalt.
Oh, my.
But again, amazing. 60-year-old home, East Hamilton, near the Rosedale area.
Mm-hmm.
When we stripped everything off, again, the original typical clause went in, X amount of dollars per sheet of plywood or per board to repair. Once we stripped off everything, the roof was immaculate. It was bright. It was shiny. It was clean wood. We did not do a single repair. Now, unfortunately, my new home, but again, granted, I was born and raised in 30 years in a 110-year-old Hamilton home, my first home, double-bricked home, buying myself for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've got kids. We had to move up, so we're in a new home now. 3/8 plywood. It's bad.
Wow.
3/8 plywood, just walking on it, you can feel it moving. Like, it's sadly enough to say within 10 to 15 years when I've got to replace that roof, those shingles, I'm going to have to resheath the whole roof.
You're going to use half inch?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely half inch over everything, tar paper throughout, ice and water shield, everything. I mean, my new home, it was just built literally minimum standards, and it's a disgusting shame.
What's it going to mean for your beams and stuff, though? If you only got 3/8, you're going to have to possibly take a look at those,
well,
too?
Well, actually, I think a good thing I've got the engineer on board. My engineer, hopefully, if I can sweeten him over with some coffee or a bottle or something, have him come over, climb in the attic with me, because my first question to him will be, I am for sure putting on 3/2-inch plywood.
Mm-hmm.
Will this joist structure, these pre-made trusses, support it? If not, he'll lay out in what way I should support them.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure, though, half-inch plywood, it shouldn't need any extra support.
Okay.
Hopefully not. But again, it's just a disgusting shame how the 10 to 15-year-old home, not only do you need shingles, but you got to resheath the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am. It's been done. Many people have done it. 60-year-old roofs, not a problem with the decking, flawless. Now, in response to Todd's question, technically, per code or whatnot, yes, if your existing layer is sound, not blowing off or completely destroyed, you can put the second layer over. However, I don't recommend it for several reasons. The newly installed roof will not last as long as it's supposed to last. Again, if it's a 25, 30-year shingle, you know, take it with a grain of salt, even on a perfect deck. weather conditions, everything carries a factor. But I mean, you should definitely strip it. You'll get the longest lasting product with your new installation. And also, there's another problem. If you don't strip it, eventually you can start seeing telegraphing, curls, like things will show through from your old shingles.
Right.
Now, although this isn't an issue or concern with getting water in, but aesthetically now, I mean, you still spent a lot of money. The roof may look terrible from the ground level.
Yep.
So again, it's really important. Part two of his question, very good part. He mentioned about whether he should
tar paper
over the whole roof. Again, many, many roofers won't recommend it. Many, I've talked to so many in this industry, they don't recommend it, but I tell any homeowner, go to any store, flip the box of shingles over. It's per manufacturer's requirements for warranty. You have to understand a roof is not watertight by any means. Mm-hmm. It's not a flat roof membrane. Consider your shingles as a series of umbrellas, dozens after dozens of umbrellas staggered over each other. Heavy, wind-driven rain will get under the shingle, and especially an old home with deck boards, it'll get through the deck board. 3/8 new construction, it'll weaken it. So I highly recommend spend the extra money, felt tar paper everywhere. And again, ice and water shield, which is not anywhere near the building code, but it makes sense. Ice and water shield around your chimney, plumbing stack, and then again, 3 feet at the perimeter. It's really important. You'll have a roof that'll last a long, long time.
Venting's another issue, too.
Venting's important. Usually it goes by square footage. A lot of older homes are missing the venting, so it's very, very important. Don't skip on the venting, which is on the roof for the roof, the attic to exhale. You've got to remember, how's the air going to get in?
That's right.
Older Hamilton homes have wood soffits. If it's got a wood soffit, solid around the perimeter, you could put 100 vents on the roof. It doesn't matter. The air is not going to get in. Go around with a 4-inch hole saw, drill some holes, put a little cover on it, or eventually, if you're having aluminum work, have ventilated soffit installed.
And make sure that your insulation in there is not blocking.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this question could go on forever. Well, actually, you know what? We'll do a show and we'll dedicate it to roofing because
sure.
It's important. I mean, but basically, though, I mean, again, Todd, I'm sure you're going to have many more questions. Answering your two questions now could open up a can of worms to 10 more. Call me. Give us a call at the office. Actually, I can put out the phone number as well. 289-649-0196. Again, that's 289-649-0196. Call, email, doesn't matter. I'll be very pleased to answer any and all your questions.
Absolutely. And just ask Bob, of course. Bobby will be back here. RRIncContracting.ca.
Yes.
Right? RRIncContracting.ca. Or 289-649-0196. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to see you, too.
That's it for Experts on Call. Blue Jays baseball is up next from Hamilton's all-new talk station. Talk 820.